is the semi-final of the World Cup, isn't it, Dominic? Calm down, Rita. Anyway, Dominic, good evening to you.
Good evening, Rita.
Thank you for coming in this evening. So, Dominic Evanhart, your head coach at Crowthorne Tennis Club. It's great to talk to you because there's another little event going on right now.
What a just busy down 2 weeks.
The road. Yeah, a couple of weeks on the beautiful lawns at Wimbledon. You obviously love your tennis. Has that love been
so
with
much.
You from from the age of 8, I understand?
Exactly. So, back in the days, not giving my age away, in the days of Becker.
We're all 21.
Yeah, that's it. And Andre Agassi, those sorts of days, and just fell in love with the sport. And since then, have played competitively, so reached a national level, and then became a dad and decided to coach. And have been doing that for the last sort of 4 or 5 years.
And do you love as much the watching Wimbledon and watching Roland Garros and watching the US Open, or actually is it all about coaching and being part of Crowthorne Tennis Club for you?
Anything tennis.
Oh, okay.
So love watching
all
it.
Of the above.
Yeah, and okay. Just trying to inspire kids and maybe rusty rackets to come back on the court or to come onto the court for the first time. And really just get going, you know. That's what it's all about, inspiring kids, getting them on the court, and then hopefully, you know, starting to have fun and then getting them to compete and trying to find the next Andy Murray, yeah.
Well, I know we're going to be talking a little bit about Sir Andy Murray in a few moments' time. Yeah. Sneak preview there of Emma's questions. What is it that really gets the kids excited about playing tennis? Is it watching the heroes, you know, whether it be Sir Andy Murray or Novak Djokovic or Nick Kyrgios, or, you know, what is it that gets them out there? Because I've got 2 kids, I've got a 6- and a 7-year-old. I think there is enormous competition for kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how do you make sure that tennis is something that they really want to do?
It's just got to be a mixture of so many different things, but to make sure that they have fun and they have a sense of achievement. So we start kids at you know, various ages, but the equipment is then relevant for that age. So then they'll actually, the look on their face when they first hit the ball over the net is just, I've achieved that, and then they get hooked, and it's our job to then keep it fun and keep them inspired and keep them engaged.
And you've played down your role, by the way, completely, so let me embarrass you a little bit, but you certainly have represented the club the first team and also in the mixed teams as well, being the captain. You're Mr. Crowthorne Tennis Club, that's fantastic, great to see. But, you know, is there a lot of players of different ages, different abilities coming through and really wanting to, as you say, pick up a rusty racket and have a go?
Absolutely, and now's a really good time to start tennis, because, you know, Wimbledon obviously inspires people.
Yeah, do you get a peek? I assume that you probably
do.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, hardcore members will play in January and February, which is great. But thankfully, we're getting a new clubhouse in October, so we'll be able to keep warm now, which will be fantastic. Before, it was slightly not as good version of what we're about to have, so we say. So now we're going to get that, so which is fantastic. So, but a real mix of ages, and I coach kids from 4 years old, and I coach adults up to 74 years old. So, and they're equally competitive.
I think you have to be incredibly patient as any coach, but I think these particular tennis coaches, that's my judgment, and that's only my judgment. Is that a case? You have to be quite patient, I'm sure.
Fairly sometimes, okay. But generally speaking, you know, people are pretty good, you know, they persevere.
Yeah,
which
indeed.
Is good.
Indeed. Well, I love talking about it. Actually, Emma was talking about her cricket club being, I guess, the pinnacle of social activity in your village or town. For the town that I grew up in, it was our tennis club.
Okay.
And actually, we hung out there literally from Friday night until Sunday night. It was pretty geeky, but that was very much part of our world. We had a couple of grass tennis courts, which were were undulating, to say the least. But we still used to play out there, loved it. So happy memories of my tennis club back when I was a little one.
Nice.
Anyway, love to chat more about tennis in a few moments' time. In the studio with me is Dominic Evanhart from the Crowthorne Tennis Club, also Kerry Oliver from Laurel Park Netball Club. But over to Emma Boswell now, who's from the Bucks Cricket Board, for her first question of this month, of this evening, Emma.
Right, so I built it up though. I know you did, and I put a dampener on. Sorry, I was distracted by the football, and actually we're going to have a little chat about football. So this is the second semi-final that the Lionesses have been in the last two major competitions that they've competed in. And so I just wanted to have a discussion, because we're all from different sports, and as you said, Rita, we're all competing for the same market, really. So just wanted to throw out there, you know, if the England women, the Lionesses, do manage to win the World Cup, what impact do you think it will have on not only their sport, but our sports as well? Tricky one, I know.
I mean, I think any sport, especially for women, you know, the coverage is just great, because each person will have their own strengths and weaknesses anyway. So just by watching football, you may not think... You may think, oh, I'd love to be a great footballer like that. I do. I used to play with my mates, you know, growing up, but my keepy-uppies are only up to about 11, so I don't think I'm going to make it that way. But at the same time, it just makes you driven for whatever you're passionate about. So you just think, oh, great, sport. I remember, okay, I wasn't great at football, but I loved netball, or I loved tennis, or I loved whatever. Rowing, it could be anything, but I think seeing... you know, us get further, seeing there be more coverage, it's on sport, you know, my kids are at home, my stepkids are at home watching England play, you know, the England ladies play on the TV, it's not just the men anymore, and I just think it will just drive that passion for whatever sport people may, you know, whatever sport it's for, it will drive it for that.
Yeah, I agree totally, and I think much like football, ladies football in the US, back in 2009, I think from their victories, I think it just completely blew up to such a great level. And I think anything that we can do to get people off sofas and kids off screens and out there on pitches and courts and anything at all that we can do to help promote a healthier lifestyle, I think would be fantastic. So
I mean, football, I was doing a little bit of research, and off the back of the Europeans year before 2016, wasn't it, their last semi-final, the sport at grassroots level almost doubled. So there was one club I was reading, they had 14 girls that were playing, and they were playing in the boys teams because that's what they do at that age. Now they've got, so from 2017, in 2018, they went from 14 kids to 120, wow. which is great. The FA, I know, are looking to double their participation at grassroots level again for the women in 2020 off the back of the World Cup. And I just think they've got something right. One, it's on terrestrial TV, which is something that my sport doesn't have. Netball, I know they had it in the Commonwealth Games.
And they will for the World Cup, but not all of the matches either.
Absolutely.
You know.
Tennis does okay, because Wimbledon is on terrestrial, but actually out of those 2 weeks, the accessibility to tennis, you've got to have some money to watch it, really. You've got to have Sky. So I think the reason I asked the question is because I actually worry a little bit about my own sport, because football is so accessible. And I work in school, so I go to schools all the time, and I see the kids playing football.
Yeah.
And the girls are there. And again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just quite a dominating thing when there's so many other sports on offer. Mm. And like you said, it is great that they're playing sport, but you just want to open up the world a little bit.
Yeah.
But maybe our sports aren't doing it quite as well as...
And you raise a brilliant point about TV and coverage and media and social media for that matter. Yeah, it's on the telly right now. Let's do a score update while we're here. England 1, USA 1, 29 minutes played in Lyon, semi-final of the Women's World Cup. That's on telly right now. Great to see for the women's game, certainly. But I think that's a great point in terms of cricket.
Yep.
The accessibility of cricket. Right now there is highlight shows, actually something presented by our former teammate Isha Guha, actually on Channel 4, for instance, which is accessible to all. But in terms of watching a 5-day test match, those days are long gone when that's on terrestrial TV.
Absolutely. And again, I go into schools and do cricket, and I ask them, you know, what's going on at the minute, we've got the Cricket World Cup going on and the Women's Ashes. The kids can't tell me that because they don't go home and switch the TV on and see it. Mm. I guarantee you now there's kids that have asked to stay up to watch the football because they know that's going to be the topic of conversation on the playground in the morning. And I think that's something that other sports maybe need to... I know we need funding and money does drive a lot of decisions. Mm-hmm. But actually, if we're looking at keeping our sports going, maybe we need to open it up to a wider audience.
Yeah. And Dominic, you know, in terms of tennis, the LTA have got this amazing shop window of Wimbledon. It is in every single year, 2 weeks back-to-back coverage, really, across the BBC. Bad news if you're an England fan. England 1, USA 2. So
we might not have to worry about it.
It isn't over yet, as they say, but a great goal there, actually. A nice cross into the box and a header by the USA striker there. And the USA crowd going wild, but we shall see whether that would be a full-time score. But sorry, Dominic, I was distracted by the scoreline there. But, you know, back to the LTA, you know, Wimbledon being a shop window for 2 weeks every single year. Do you think, in absolute all honesty, that we are leveraging that coverage in terms of players coming through, kids coming through, and indeed the ability for people to pick to come to a club and, you know, in terms of equipment to get started if they haven't got it, etc. Or do you think actually it's not really level? We should be getting more British players coming through.
Absolutely, we should be. The LTA have come up with initiatives in the past that have been them pretty good. There's one now that's very good, which is called Tennis for Kids, which is a really good initiative where you pay, I think, £30 and you get 6 hours of kids tennis and you get a racket and you get some balls, and that's making it very accessible because it's not a lot of money. So that's a good initiative, but in the past they maybe haven't been as focused on that, and I think it's been down to us in a lot of sports at grassroots to really try and fly the flag for our sports. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't think they, hand on heart, perhaps have been funding the sport in the right way.
We've got a tennis question coming up in a few moments' time. So let's play a tune. Let's chill out for a little bit. Let's not get too downhearted over the scoreline. It is England 1, USA 2. But by the way, the USA keeper, I think, just made a fantastic save. So England is certainly knocking on the door for an equaliser. Phil Neville, head coach, was saying that the team are very much ready and not content to go home and at the semi-final stage. So we shall see how the Lionesses get on in Lyon. BBC Radio Berkshire, time for a tune. And this is Shotgun by George Ezra.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar, I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. South of the equator, navigator, gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. Deep sea diving round the clock, bikini bottoms, lager tops, I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone.
be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like someone. We got two in the front, two in the back, sailing along, and we don't look back. Around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like someone, someone, someone.
The Featured Artist of the Week with Steve Madden.
Remember when there was a DIY superstore called Texas? Well, we're not celebrating them, but we are celebrating the band from Glasgow that share their name. They debuted at the University of Dundee and took their name from half a film title. Singer Charlene Spiteri has also had a long solo career, but with Texas, she has sold 40 million records.
Steve Madden.
So let us hear all about Texas, Saturday from 11.
BBC Radio Berkshire.
BBC Radio Berkshire. Tonight from 10. It's Paul Miller. Right now, you're listening to BBC Radio Berkshire Sport. BBC Radio Berkshire Sport. Extra time. This is the sports panel.
It is 22 minutes to 9 o'clock. We're going to get to Emma in a couple of moments' time for a second question of this evening. By the way, in Lyon, semi-final of the Women's World Cup, England against the USA. It's currently England 1, USA 2. England came from behind to equalise, and the USA have scored a second, but plenty of time to go in that one. By the way, here on BBC Radio Berkshire tomorrow, Bill Buckley will be joined by the news panel tomorrow afternoon. They'll be chatting about this week's big news stories and current affairs, as well as some things that might have gone under the radar. So I look forward to that. Sarah Walker, by the way, from 10 o'clock. And in this very studio, Andrew Peach will be here for the breakfast show. So good evening to you, Emma. You are our sports editor for the month of July. Over to you for your second question of this evening.
Thanks, Rita. Well, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. It's all right. So we're moving on to tennis, and as Rita said, Wimbledon started yesterday, and there was a great result for Coco Gauff. Incredible piece of tennis. But I just wanted to have a chat about the LTA again, and just, do you think that they've done enough off the back of Sir Andy Murray's success to attract new players and fans, really, to the game?
He has been so successful, and hopefully he's not going to retire quick, you know, quite yet. But, you know, three Grand Slams, Davis Cup. He's a popular guy with the public as well. You know, the initial who do you want to win at football, anyone but England, you know, barring that, you know, we can let him off that for what he's done subsequently, which is, you know, he's BBC sports personality, I think, three times he's won that. He's a well-publicised feminist as well, which is a credit to him. His runner-up speech at the Aussie Open, when he cried, I think from that moment, I think that, you know, the public really have sort of taken him to their hearts. So I think there is a real need for the LTA to have leapt on the back of that, as I'm sure the US Tennis Association will do with Coco Gauff. So I don't think they necessarily have done enough. I don't know why that is. I think, you know, him not being a product of the LTA. He was at the Sanchez Cazal Academy. I think that, I don't know whether that has anything to do with it, but I certainly think they haven't kept in close enough contact and asked the Murray brothers, not just Andy, but Jamie as well, to come along, and Judy, to be honest, to try and promote the sport a little more. They have just announced something that Andy has been talking about for a long time, which is indoor facilities. So they are going to spend £125 million on, I think, 94 new centres, 72 in England. None near Crowthorne, might I add. But, you know, that is something. And they also want £125 million of funding, of private funding to go along that, with that. So, but I think they could have allied that sooner with the Murrays, definitely. So no, I don't think they have, you know.
Yeah, I think they missed a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
We were talking before about schools, and
yeah,
again, the kids, because it's on the TV, when he won that first Wimbledon and the Olympic Games.
And the Davis Cup.
And it was just, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And the kids watch it, and again, they will have all been out there playing with their tennis rackets, and it's that inroad to the school. In cricket, we have a charity called Chance to Shine. So it did run independently, but now actually it's come more in line with the ECB. So they work closely together, and they offer free cricket packages in schools in each county. So we'll have a certain, so in our county, we go into 54 schools, offer 6-week packages for free. So we get to expose loads of kids to some cricket over the summer.
Yeah.
And I just think maybe the LTA could have put a bit of investment behind it, and used Andy Murray as the role model that he is.
Yeah.
And
he still is.
Absolutely.
He's the one player that the kids always say, you know, who's your favourite player? Andy Murray. You know?
Yeah. And as you say, it's his brother as well, who's
at
the upper tiers, really, of doubles play. You know, he's a great player in his own right, and their mum is a celebrity as well. You know, and we all watch Strictly.
Yeah, and yeah, of course.
But did you say about 120 million?
Yeah, 125 million by the LTA.
So I want to ask Kerry this: what would Netball England do with that much money? I mean, that is a phenomenal amount of money.
That is so much money. I mean, we were mentioning earlier that the England Netball team only went professional last year. You know, and even now, I think a lot of the girls, they still have, you know, they're teachers, they're solicitors, they're all these things. So I think you have to, obviously that's the top level, but from bottom level as well, you need it for, I mean, facilities is a massive thing for us as well. A lot of netball sessions, league, you know, at any level is outside. And, you know, I mean, I run a back to netball session on a Thursday evening, and I had to cancel 3 sessions in May and June because of awful weather. And you know, when you're still having to pay for courts or whatever it is, regardless of whether people turn up or not, it's a massive challenge. And I think to have that money to put it in, and I think it does, for me, it needs to go to grassroots levels, because that's where you build it up. You know, you build up the love of the sport by the facilities, by making it accessible. I mean, for me, it's a real bugbear of mine that sport really is an elitist thing, because you have to be able to pay to join the clubs, you have to be able to pay for the kit, you have to be able to pay you know, to go to tournaments, to pay the umpires. You know, there's so much expense that goes with it that I feel that there are just so many children that miss out. And so you were talking about schools and stuff. I was just trying to look up, I mean, England Netball have just started, they're just sort of promoting a program for children's netball, for sort of the babies, from sort of year one onwards, and they're making it accessible for schools as well, in order for teachers to kind of know more, because that's something that I've been a little bit shocked about as well, is when you're at school and you see, you know, I know PE teachers have to kind of know a bit of everything, But you know, I've gone and helped out with some schools, and the teachers are umpiring the same that they would a hockey match, you know, like one side each with the line down the middle, whereas, you know, it's a for us it's a different position. So for me, I just think, I mean, 125 million to be able to kind of spread that around would just be amazing. And you said indoor courts, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, that would just be amazing. But you know, that's the struggle for each sport though, isn't it? And you know, you still want it to grow and to develop.
Yeah, indeed. Well, well, watch your space. If that chair comes your way, you know, well, I'm sure you'll spend it wisely, Kerry. Right, let me give you some very latest scores and some sporting news from today. Well, let me start with an enormous game in Lyon. It's the semi-finals of the Women's World Cup. England won. USA 2. Coming up to half time in that game, the half time whistle just about to blow there. So, be interesting to see what Phil Neville's half time talk will be to try and really get the Lionesses going in the second half and going for victory. That would be phenomenal. By the way, the second goal celebration was a little bit cheeky. Alex Morgan apparently pretended to drink a cup of tea in true British style, the cheeky bit. But that, it's all alleged, but I am looking at a picture which does look like she's having a cup of tea. But there we go.
Out of order.
So maybe Phil Neville just needs to show everyone that picture, but there we go. But Ellen White with the England going, indeed, it is half time. England 1, USA 2. It's a cricket now in the ashes between the England women and Australian women. England women have lost the first one-day game. Australian women won by just 2 wickets in Leicester. And in the Cricket World Cup, one game today, India beat Bangladesh to book their semi-final place. So, yeah, Emma, you were... How can a bit punching the air with delight? What was your perspective on that?
To Bangladesh, we're quite close to knocking us out of the top four there. So an India win is good for us. We just need Bangladesh now to go on and beat Pakistan on Friday. Or our fate in our own hands, we beat New Zealand tomorrow, which would be the ideal situation. But as you can see from the semi-final of the Lionesses, we don't do things easily as England teams.
We certainly don't.
Oh, you see it?
She
drank a cup of tea.
They didn't even have good tea in America. How dare they?
Controversial. I don't know about that, but okay, like the fighting talk, they can. Well, you took the words right out of my mouth, Emma, in terms of the fact that Bangladesh lost today. It means that actually only Pakistan and England are really fighting out for that for one of the semi-final spots. I was at the game actually on Sunday, England against India. It's the game that I guess I could just basically cannot lose. There were 99% Indian fans in that stadium. It was what an atmosphere. But I tell you, England performed brilliantly well. So can they do that tomorrow against New Zealand?
I know.
12 hours away from that one.
I'm working from home tomorrow as well, so I don't know how productive that day is going to be. Sorry, boss.
Right, then we're going to play a tune and then back with you in a few moments' time, Emma, for your third question of this evening. BBC Radio Berkshire, and this is one of Emma's very, you know, biggest favourites, I believe. This is Summer Sun by Texas.